You're 40 feet above your last piece of protection, hands sweating, heart pounding. That voice in your head screams, "Downclimb now." But here's the paradox. The holds beneath your fingers are solid, the movement straightforward, and the real danger isn't the rock, it's your mind. This moment reveals a profound truth. Most climbers aren't held back by weak fingers or poor technique, but by invisible mental barriers they've constructed without realizing it. What if everything you think limits you is just a story you've been telling yourself? Most of us run the same mental loops daily, approximately 60,000 thoughts, with 95% identical to yesterday's. These unconscious patterns create invisible ceilings on what we believe possible. The breakthrough comes through developing the witness position, observing your thoughts without becoming them. Picture yourself at your climbing limit. That voice saying, "I'm too pumped," isn't you. It's just a thought pattern, like a radio station you've been tuned to for years. This separation gives you power. Our culture tangles self-worth with achievement, creating the ego, a mental construct that rewards or punishes based on comparison. When self-worth depends on performance, we avoid the risks necessary for growth. Power leaks through ineffective mental habits, limiting self-talk, "I don't trust this gear," reactionary behavior, kicking the wall after falling, and wishful thinking, "I wish these holds were bigger." The solution isn't forcing positivity, but developing awareness. Noticing these patterns without judgment creates space to interrupt them. Life on rock demands attention to subtle details. Consider the sport climber who arrives pumped at a clipping stance, grips desperately while fumbling with the rope, then immediately relaxes and finds the stance comfortable. We're least likely to demonstrate poise precisely when we need it most. High performance requires poise built on three interconnected foundations: physical posture, breathing, and mental stance. Your body position affects your mental state just as thoughts affect physical tension. On the wall, maintaining an engaged core and relaxed shoulders dramatically improves both efficiency and mental clarity. Breathing connects body and mind as the only function operating both voluntarily and involuntarily. Stress creates shallow breathing, which amplifies stress in a vicious cycle. Practice belly breathing, where the diaphragm moves down on inhalation, pushing the belly out slightly. Try box breathing: 4 counts in, 4 counts hold, 4 counts out, 4 counts hold. This simple practice dissipates fear and integrates body and mind. Mental posture completes this triad. Monitor self-talk for disempowering language. Instead of, "I'll try this hard move," say, "I'm climbing this move." Rather than, "I have to send this route," think, "I choose to climb my best." These subtle shifts create profound changes in how you approach challenges. Society discourages responsibility. We expect warning signs everywhere and blame others for our inattention. The ego compounds this by protecting self-image, transferring blame for poor performances to external factors. We'll accept responsibility for minor mistakes like hangovers, but struggle with complex or personally threatening situations. Accepting responsibility means grasping reality clearly without wishing it different. When you blame poor performance on weak forearms rather than inadequate preparation, you surrender power to change. When you wish holds were bigger instead of figuring out how to use them, you waste energy on fantasy. The warrior views responsibility as pragmatic power. By accepting maximum responsibility, you maximize your ability to respond effectively. This requires radical honesty. Assess the route objectively, evaluate fall consequences with precision, and honestly assess your capabilities relative to the challenge. By accepting responsibility for as many factors as possible, you maximize your field of influence. You stop wishing holds were better or blaming weak forearms. You accept a great truth: life is difficult. Once you fully accept difficulty as natural, struggles cease to daunt you. Our culture celebrates achievement while ignoring the effort behind it, fostering a receiving mindset where happiness depends on obtaining something: stronger forearms, more free time, the red point. This entitlement thinking is passive and disconnects us from reality. The warrior rejects entitlement and embraces gratitude. Instead of asking, "What can I get from this climb?" ask, "What can I give to this effort?" This shift transforms your relationship with challenges from passive consumption to active contribution. Many climbers focus on deficiency, what they lack. Rather than thinking, "I don't know how to squeeze my hand in thin cracks," build on existing skills. "I know how to jam hand-size cracks, let me modify that." When stuck, shift from impossibility thinking, "I don't see how to climb this crux," to possibility thinking, "If there is protection, where would it be?" Climbing progresses through possibility thinkers who challenge conventional limits. John Gill transformed bouldering from practice into worthy pursuit. Reinhold Messner revolutionized Himalayan climbing by applying alpine-style techniques to 8,000-meter peaks, defying experts who claimed Everest without oxygen was impossible. The giving mindset focuses on process over outcome, not climbing cracks smoothly, but learning to climb them smoothly. Climbing offers unique moments of extended choice, unlike gravity-driven sports. Tentative decisions waste power, yet taking risks paradoxically increases safety by expanding our comfort zones through temporary discomfort. Security comes through venturing into the risk zone. We can't directly attain comfort. We must pursue it through temporary discomfort that builds capability. Choices aren't simply right or wrong. They're tests providing learning opportunities. Fear of falling often persists despite solid protection, representing phantom fear about losing control rather than actual danger. Todd Skinner and Paul Piana demonstrated this on the Salate Wall's first free ascent, taking practice falls up to 40 feet each morning to eliminate distracting fear. When action time arrives, decisiveness is essential. Many climbers either edge in without conscious commitment or rush before anxiety registers. Both approaches distract attention and increase danger. The warrior's approach directs full attention either into the risk or toward definitive escape. Directing attention into a choice creates intention, a powerful force beyond merely shifting focus. When you fully commit, unseen forces, your unlimited subconscious potential, emerge to carry you through. When we love something deeply, attention naturally focuses in the moment because there's nowhere else we'd rather be. Elite climbers handle fear better, not through superior genetics, but through profound connection to climbing. This love-based motivation forms the foundation of warrior power. In our dynamic world, settling into rigid comfort zones means slowly dying. To stay vibrant, we must engage life and take risks for learning, not conquest. The warrior prepares by collecting information, witnessing the ego sabotage attempts, centering, assessing consequences, and making clear decisions. Once committed to action, dismiss doubts and maintain unwavering focus on the present moment. The rock becomes your teacher, offering countless opportunities for growth. Each climb reveals lessons about movement, technique, fears, habits, and potential. You learn to recognize thinking patterns, identify trigger points, and develop strategies to work through challenges. The Rock Warrior's Way isn't just about climbing better. It's about living better by embracing challenge, finding meaning in process rather than outcome, and developing clarity and courage to live authentically.